You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Are you a conspiracy realist? No, not a real estate specialist in conspiracies or anything like that, but a conspiracy realist as opposed to a conspiracy theorist. We got to cover that story and more later on in the program with my dear friend Liam Sheff. He's with me in studio again in a while, and we're doing a super special, super secret conspiracy-related project. Oh, no! We'll let you know about that in the coming weeks. But for now, we've got to cover a lot of more health and healing stories, as we do every day here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, starting with expectant moms. Big news, and not good news for expectant moms, that there's an increase in the rate of pregnant women having strokes. Stroke? What is that? I mean, all of a sudden, pregnant women are having strokes. We didn't have enough problems with pregnancy, much less getting pregnant, because of the rise in infertility due to the reliance on food grown with synthetic chemicals devoid of the nutrients necessary to provide healthy life, much less to sustain a healthy pregnancy. Now we got stroke rates going up in women who are pregnant or who recently gave birth, according to a new study. The researchers from the good old Centers for Disease Creation and Prevention, otherwise known in the mainstream media as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they looked at hospital discharge data and found that between 1994 and 1995, and again in 2006-07, the rate of stroke hospitalization rose 47%. 47%, it's not like 1 or 2% increase here, while climbing 83% in women in the 3 months after giving birth segment. The results are published in Stroke Journal of the American Heart Association. Now, are they likely going to promote this as an excuse to put pregnant women on statin drugs? Could this be the case? We're going to see as we continue on with this article here. Again, some of these articles strike me as just bizarre. You read this, it's like strokes in pregnant women. Where is this coming from? Now, I can understand it nutritionally, and we're certainly going to get into that as well. But even though the numbers are actually low, they say 0.22 of stroke hospitalizations per 1,000 deliveries. It's not a lot in the big scheme of things, but when you see a 47 or 83% increase, that is not only statistically significant, but it's horrific. And the sharp increases suggest, according to the article here, a need to tease out what's going on. Tease it out? This is according to Elena Kuklina, lead study author and a senior service fellow and epidemiologist at CDC's Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention. She's talking to this health blog, Elena Kuklina. Where did they get these people at CDC? We're going to tease it out? You don't have to tease it out. Just look at nutrition, but they don't want to. You know what they're going to blame it on? Well, here, let's go to the next paragraph in this story. The likely culprit. Women getting pregnant are increasingly likely to have other risk factors for stroke, such as obesity, high blood pressure, congenital heart disease, or diabetes. Again, you're looking at the symptoms. You're not telling us anything about the true cause because you don't know it. Or if you do know it, you can't reveal it. You would lose your job at the CDC. Among the women hospitalized for stroke before giving birth, for example, 17% had high blood pressure. Well, that'd be a clue. That's in 06 and 07 compared to 11% in 94-95. But the exact role of those factors, they say, needs to be studied. Again, Kuklina wants more study. That means we need more budget. We need bigger budget. We need to steal the money. That debt, we can't cut the debt now. We have to study something that is, well, it's horrific, but it's also absurd that it needs study. We can talk about it here. We're going to get to the bottom of that in a moment. There needs to be more research. More research! How to treat pregnant women at higher risk of stroke. That's right. Drug therapy. Read it. Drug therapy. Now, interestingly, they say the rate of strokes occurring right around the time when a woman's baby was delivered was unchanged at 0.27 hospitalizations per 1,000 deliveries. And it's not clear why, according to the article, but it could be that women already in the hospital to deliver a baby are more carefully monitored and, if they're at risk, treated to prevent a stroke before it occurs. Of course, this article is then going to indicate that all births must be in hospitals. You still have that theory going about that hospitals are the place to give birth, like birthing is a disease. Now, I recognize throughout the history of the planet and people on it, yes, there are risks associated with childbirth, labor, etc., giving birth. There's infant mortality issues. There are complications that can occur at any time and place, even in a hospital or at home. But the reality is, by looking at the childbirthing process as a disease, do we not almost give rise to the expectation of complications? And have we not allowed the OBGYN profession basically to outschedule births, in a sense, to say, hey, you can't be bothered with that. Let's just schedule you a C-section without even considering a vaginal delivery and all the benefits to the child and future development, much less the recovery of the mother. It must childhood become a disease. Now, no, well, childhood has become a disease. Parents, you know what I mean. But childbirth, I mean. So there are real risks. I'm not here to minimize that. But, you know, I remember the Monty Python, it was The Meaning of Life, where they had the woman just dropping a baby. It was a funny scene. They're dropping a baby. Oh, there goes another one. But I also remember stories from my mentor who served a lot of time in Africa. In Kinshasa, I think it was, in the Belgian Congo at the time it was called. And in fact, that they were on trains, they traveled by trains, and a woman would have to give birth. This is what would happen. They'd literally stop the train, could be anywhere. They just stop it. She goes off the train into the field right next to the tracks, has the baby, picks up the baby, comes right back onto the train, and the train continues on. Am I oversimplifying it? Well, this is how it was described to me. Then they had it standing up, by the way, too. They allow gravity to, you know, drop the baby. Of course, the baby is caught. But this is something that's foreign to childbirth in the West. My wife reminds me some of the history, too. I love history, but wasn't it one of the kings of England? I got to remember who that was. I'll have to ask my wife on the break if I can remember. That just decided, well, I want to observe childbirth. Have her lay on her back. And then everybody decided that's the way to give birth to babies, laying on your back. Of course, we have some more advancements with midwives and other doulas and other, you know, common sense approaches to childbirthing that has now even reentered the allopathic model in birthing centers, thank God. But still, there's so much divorced from humanity and nature in regards to the birthing process. Now, the women in Africa that could do this obviously are beyond belief superwomen, healthy. But this is what it was like when you had access to food. That was good food, and basically you were strong, you were strengthened, you were working the fields, however, but you had this strength about you, vitality, and we have become wussified, and I'm not blaming women, it's women and men, all of us have been wussified by the ease with which we live nowadays. We aren't challenged very often. We in the West do not consider every day a challenge of survival. We figure, yeah, we're going to get by, not even a thought about it. But if you've ever visited Africa like I have, been to West Africa twice, and you've been out into the villages and you see what life is like there, and you talk to the people, including about, you know, the harsh crimes that occur, particularly when I went to Lagos in Nigeria. I mean, every day, even if you were in the city, this huge city of Lagos, you didn't know if you were going to live to the end of the day. That's how dangerous it was. Were you going to be met by a series of bandits just on the road, walking or in a car? Hacked to death. It's horrible. It's horrific. I know people that told me these stories firsthand when I was there. And now we're being confronted with something here in the West that we haven't seen, you know, since perhaps the old West. A concept of harsh survival, survivalism. And when the economy fails, as we talk about the fiat economy with the phony debt ceiling elevation, as if that salvaged anything but the banksters to live another day and delayed the inevitable reckoning, day of reckoning. We talk about the balancing of the scales, the karmic scales, the debt. If we talk about the debt, you can talk about in terms of karmic debt, if you like the Eastern terminology, that eventually you pay, if it's the piper, who do you pay? I don't know, but somebody wants their money, right? Somebody wants their payback. And, of course, the senators and congressmen that have basically acquiesced to the debt ceiling elevation, which makes the debt ceiling a non-existent ceiling. It's an illusory, imaginary ceiling. It makes that a moot issue. It's a non-issue. And, of course, it makes them complicit to the destruction, the indebtedness, the slavery that they want to put your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, children yet to be born under, to enslave them to a debt that is not of their making. What, are they guilty? By virtue of your birth in America, you now owe $50,000 Federal Reserve notes. No, pay no attention to the Constitution. Pay no attention to the Coinage Act of 1792. And then we see the increased level of strokes in women. Now, is it because of the debt? Is the debt causing an increase in strokes in women? Well, the artificiality of the fiat money system and everything that extends from it, perhaps I could argue that it does contribute to the increasing numbers of strokes in pregnancy, during pregnancy, and after childbirth in the mothers. Because we now live in an artificial life. We eat food that is artificially grown. It is artificially flavored. It is artificially sweetened. Who knows? I mean, so many things. Pesticides are added. Nutrition is removed, refined. And then we scratch our heads and go, I wonder why we got all this infertility. Could pesticides be reducing sperm motility? Could it be damaging the very villi that are necessary for proper function within the ovaries, within the fallopian tubes? I mean, all of these things that help things to move along. Well, it's not just cigarette smoke. I mean, and it's not just tobacco in the cigarettes, because that's, we've talked about that many times. Those of you who are not familiar or just new to the Robert Scott Bell Show, every day is a grand adventure in healing on all levels. And there are, 150 hours or more now? It's crazy, man. There's so much you can download and listen to for free, thanks to Mike Adams and NaturalNewsRadio.com, where you are right now. Download some of those shows we've done with Dr. Frank King, with Dr. How many doctors we had? Dr. Carolyn Dean, of course, Dr. Batar, my dear friend. Every Monday we do Advanced Medicine. There is so much information. And all I ask you to do is say thanks to my sponsors occasionally here. Just give them a kiss, give them a hug, whatever. Say thank you to those that support us here on Natural News Radio, because without them, we couldn't be doing this. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for you as well. 866-939-BELL is the number to reach us. 866-939-2355. I do have a call a little later in the program I'll go to. Joni has asked again about the role of, the superbugs. Remember we brought up the superbugs? And I didn't go into a lot of solutions. We talked about a few, but there was another question she had. I want to go into that as well. Don't want to ignore you out there. I appreciate anybody takes the time to call us at 866-939-2355. Also, robertscottbell.com. Sign up for email alerts there and at naturalnewsradio.com, so you'll be plugged into all the healings on, the goings on, the healings on here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. So we got the rate of strokes increasing by horrific amounts. Kuklina from the CDC says, we just need to study it more. We'll tease out the what's going on here. But it could be that they're already sick. No, really? Why are they sick? Well, gee, I don't know. I'm from the CDC. I'm not allowed to know. We'll blame a microbe. Let's blame the flu so we can inject flu vaccines into pregnant women. Why not just do, when you do the amniocentesis, right? They want amniocentesis. Let's check whatever's going on there. Hey, why not just throw some flu shot in there? See how that works. No, not really. That's horrific, but I couldn't put it past them that they would do. And so Kuklina suggests that women planning to conceive visit a doctor ahead of time to get a general health check and discuss any risk factors and how they can be reversed by diet, exercise, or other lifestyle factors. Diet. What do you mean by diet, Kuklina? You won't say anything about diet, will you? Not real diet. You won't talk about organic. You won't talk about the real reason these ladies are getting strokes, will you? I'm about to. I will tell you. But she says women who are overweight or obese, for example, will likely be told to get closer to a healthy weight before they become pregnant. And this reminds me of that show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, whatever that was. I don't know. I still don't know how it is to this day. People don't know that. My wife, I'll have to ask her. She's seen that more than I have. What happens to a woman during pregnancy can serve as a preview of what medical problems she may face later on. Well, there's your moment of duh. Ron Winslow wrote in the Wall Street Journal. Really? A Wall Street Journal earlier this year, problem pregnancy, specifically one including preeclampsia and gestational diabetes. Oh, look, we're getting there somewhere. Is now a risk factor for future heart problems. There's your super moment of done. When we come back from this break, I went a little long here, but that's the traveling, winding road we do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I'm going to go into the specifics as to why there is an increase of stroke in women giving birth to babies or shortly thereafter. right here, right now on The Robert Scott Bell Show. A little later, are you a conspiracy realist? Liam Sheff returns in studio while we work on special secret conspiratorial projects. Oh, yeah, hang in there. We got lots of fun to have right here, right now on The Robert Scott Bell Show. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Back at you, conspiracy realism. Coming up a little later in the Robert Scott Bell Show. Now back to the ladies giving birth and keeping them healthy long after that, much less during pregnancy. One of the things that was mentioned specifically, gestational diabetes in the article, and I have it linked up at robertscottbell.com. They're saying, what's making pregnant women have more strokes? Now, of course, any nutrient deficiency can result in any type of metabolic abnormality or aberration. And if we talk gestational diabetes, we come right back to the glucose tolerance factor chromium molecules, that which used to be very prevalent in food, like whole grains. And even sugar, yes, unprocessed, unrefined sugar cane contains a lot of chromium. But a lot of the whole foods, if the soil contained it, of course, it ended up in the foods. Now, the chromium molecule, very critically necessary for the transport of sugars into and out of the cells, the utilization appropriately of insulin, etc. And so pancreatic function dependent upon the GTF chromium molecule. However, I'll reiterate, well, especially for my new listeners, I'll iterate for the first time that the form of chromium matters. In the 1990s, you had the federal government starting to go, chromium, yeah, go do some chromium. And I always scratch my head, it's like, what the heck, where did that come from? Suddenly they're in the dietary supplement business, they want you to take a supplement? How could that be possible? Well, it turns out that the federal government, the U.S. government, held patent on chromium picolinate. Suddenly came onto the scene, the greatest new thing. And only a fraction of benefit could you get from it because it was a form of chromium bound to picolinic acid, which is a cellular metabolic waste product. It's cellular poo. And I don't mean weenie the poo. It's stuff that you don't want to be ingesting, but they bind the chromium into it, and a fraction of percentages of that chromium is actually even viable, usable for your body, but it is in so many dietary supplements. You cannot imagine how many dietary supplements have the wrong form of chromium in it. Now, some of them have chromium polynicotinate. Some of them have chromium chloride, and they all have varying degrees of activity. Minimal compared to chromium that is grown in food, that is in supplement form, but in food form that you can actually eat. And that's why I utilize the 100 micrograms three times a day for most anybody dealing with hypoglycemia or diabetes or gestational diabetes. But it does more than that. It helps the liver to do its job. It's very liver specific as well. And you want to protect a developing infant, a fetus, if you will. You want to do that? You want to make sure the liver's good and strong. I'm not saying you have to go on a massive crash liver, you know, cleanse while you're pregnant, but supporting your liver by utilizing key nutrients is absolutely essential. So you'll have chromosomal integrity intact of this child. You want to protect, prevent birth defects? Make sure you have adequate quantities of a whole food form of chromium. Now, I get the chromium from Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com. He's at 866-424-1077. 866-424-1077. He carries the kind I use. In the stores, you hear of Megafood, and the professional brand of Megafood also has innate response that we can get from Jonathan. They have it out there in New Chapter, but it's 200 micrograms, which is too much to assimilate at one time. So if you have that, cut it in half before you take it. So don't waste anything. But just pick up the phone, do that, or go on the web. You can find it. Now, when it comes to the vascular integrity, we know that a lot of the issues with stroke can be in regards to the loss of vascular integrity, elasticity, etc. We have to come back to the trace mineral silicon or silica. Silica is so ripped out of so many foods again that we need to get it in. We've talked about utilizing horsetail extract. I've had Christopher Barr on here, my dear friend and nutritional historian, talk about the essence of the tea that can be absorbed, utilized by concentrating it. And that's what they do with Alta Health products at Silica X. So if you like that form, absolutely. Jonathan's got that as well. You'll be on your way. And we really need to shore up the connective tissue, including vascular strength and elasticity. Of course, it does more than that. But for the sake of the argument or the discussion on the pregnancy and stroke issue, I thought it'd be very important to take the Silicon Challenge, 5,000 milligrams a day. That's about, I'm approximating about 12 of those tablets from Alta of the silica, and to see about protecting the vascular system. Now, if you're worried about the clotting issue, of course, we talked. Hey, didn't we do this just recently? Yeah. Advanced Medicine Monday, we did with, Dr. Bitar. It was not this recent one, but maybe a week before. So if you go to the download area of the archives through Natural News Radio, go down and listen to it. We talked about other options for dealing with blood, right? Thinning the blood without having to resort to warfarin, coumadin, rat poison. We talked about utilizing EFAs, essential fatty acids, omega-3s. We talked about the use of natokinase. We talked about the use of ginger. I mean, there are a number of things that would reduce not only inflammation but thin the blood. Some people like to have a glass of wine, right? If you a good organic quality grapes, if you will. I'm not going to excess because we don't want to put any undue stress on your liver. That will deplete your levels of selenium, which, by the way, we all need to be supplementing at this point. Even as much as I like the Brazil nuts, they don't contain as much as they used to. And if we need therapeutic quantities, at least a couple hundred micrograms a day, really need to consider these whole food nutrients. So that's the brief version. There is more to go on this story, but it also relates to something else, and that, you know, the factors associated with smoking non-tobacco or tobacco-less or almost tobacco-less cigarettes, where thousands of other ingredients are there to enthrall you, entertain you, and addict you, and perhaps kill you. And also how that relates to this story and many others. And so this next story coming up here relates to that, where they talk about smoking and diabetes and obesity. What is it going to do now? What is it going to do now? It might shrink your brain. Wait, isn't that a good thing? I thought, didn't he remember anybody else, or is it just me? Remember when I was growing up, they told me, well, every time you learn, your brain gets a new wrinkle. And so by the time you're old, it's all shriveled up, but you're really smart. Anybody validate the veracity of those statements, those bizarre statements? Yes, and stick a tongue on a flagpole when the degree temperature is about 22 or less outside. See what happens there. Oh, your tongue's not going to stick to that. Well, as if things weren't already enough, there weren't enough good reasons to avoid smoking and keep your weight, blood pressure, blood sugar levels all under control. A new study suggests these three risk factors in middle age may cause your brain to shrink, leading to mental declines up to a decade later. I'm telling you, the thing that's going to shrink your brain more than anything else is the statin drugs, because you're going to reduce the fat available, the cholesterol available for healthy brain and neurological function. Let's find out if this article concurs with my opinion here. They evaluated data from 1,352 participants who average age was 54, and then the Framingham Offspring Study began in 1971. Long time of following this stuff. Researchers at UC Davis found that smoking, as we already acknowledged, okay, dangerous vascular changes. Now, they say we can't cure disease or cure aging, but the idea of a healthy body, healthy mind is very real. This is according to study author Dr. Charles DeCarli. She's at UC Davis Alzheimer's Disease Center. Interesting. Interesting. She's got to get a lot of more money. We need more people with Alzheimer's. Let's see where we're going here. People should stop smoking, control their blood pressure, avoid diabetes, and lose weight. It seems like a no-brainer. Oh, that's not a funny play on words. We're going to make sure you have a no-brainer or no brain at all. This study was published August 2nd in the journal Neurology. Participants, guess what? We have caught up to me now. Participants were given blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes tests and had their body mass and waist circumference measured. Oh, my goodness. Were they given statin drugs? Oh, yes, they were. And this is where they lose their minds because they don't relate it to that. They still come back to, oh, it's diet. Just change your diet. We're not going to tell you what that. Oh, I know what that means. Low-fat diet. We're going to still insist that fat is your problem when your brain is full of fat and they should want to increase your fat to support your brain and nervous system. So what else did the study find here? Those with diabetes in middle age experience brain shrinkage in an area known as the hippocampus faster than those without. And smokers lost brain volume overall in the hippocampus faster than non-smokers, with a more rapid increase of small areas of vascular brain damage. Can we do anything to counteract it? Let's think about this. Those with high blood pressure experienced a more rapid worsening of test scores of planning and decision-making, which corresponded to faster rate of growth of small areas of vascular brain damage than those with normal blood pressure. Again, a no-brainer, shall we say? Well, it's a no-brainer if you don't have enough silicon to get the brain and the nervous system functioning properly again. Remember the blood pressure issue. We've talked about this. When the vascular system is stiff, it doesn't have that elasticity and strength. That will also be indicated in a reason why the blood pressure will elevate. Now, in those cases as well, you may also be more ripe for, you know, an aneurysm or something, a weakening of an area where there's a lot of pressure and that area is weakened because of the connective tissue breakdown. Again, due to a lot of reasons, toxins as well. Smoking with all of the toxins coming in there don't help because it reduces selenium levels in the entire body, and your body is so dependent on selenium for so many functions. So we talk in terms of smoking, of course, that is something that I don't know why we even have to mention it anymore, but hey, all right, people are still smoking. Okay, if they were growing their own tobacco or had organic tobacco and there was no garbage added to it, we wouldn't be seeing as many problems as we do today associated with smoking. Now, this Dr. Raj Shah here is medical director of Rush Memory Clinic in Chicago. He has something to say here. He says, I do think it's an important study and has practical importance in confirming there are things we can do in middle age that can have effects 10, 20, and 30 years down the line to improve cognitive health. Now, you know, a statement like that, you have to be a doctor to say that. I think we can do something. I think we can do so. You're in middle age. We can still do something. Might have a benefit 10, 20 years, 30 years down the road. Really? And he says, he continues, it may seem we're talking about things that are somewhat common knowledge, you think? But really, we always hypothesize these things could happen. But to show they actually do in a study is very important. I don't know. Does it take, I guess for some people it takes a study to say, well, maybe I should detoxify my liver and it will be healthier and I will be healthier. Maybe I should eat better. Maybe I should smoke a little less. Do we really need a study to show that? What we need are these PhDs. Of course, the reason that they're talking like this is that they want the flow of money to keep coming in. We know that people aren't going to change unless we show a study that shows it's truly better not to eat crap and die young. Sorry to be so direct on that, but it must be said. I mean, the PhDs don't keep working. They don't get to pay their cars and their kids' college, whatever they're doing, unless the grants keep coming in. And we got to prove what's a patently obvious to the average American that actually can still think clearly. Now, when we look at study design, it's interesting in this case. It was just a bunch of white people, a bunch of white folks, and only 5% were diabetics in this case. So they say it wasn't really representative of everybody. But I will tell you this, no matter how much pigment you have in your skin or don't have, you need silica, okay? And no matter what color your skin is, You need chromium, selenium, essential fats, all of those things. So for me, it isn't the divisive, if I can say it that way, nature of we need racial science. We got to see what, I mean, the same thing we're devoid or deficient in. Some of us may need more exposure to the sun than others. Okay, I'll grant you that. But fat, protein, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, trace minerals, we all need them. How we get them, maybe that's different for each of us. But certainly we don't need the toxins coming in through synthetic cigarette smoke. And I'm, again, I differentiate because I need to between organic tobacco untreated and the big tobacco cigarettes, which to the tobacco, who knows if it's genetically modified as well. And so where do we go in this? We got to go back to nutrition. Where do they go in this? Well, we just got to keep studying. We just got to keep getting more money in. In the meantime, yeah, smoke less, have less diabetes, don't be so obese, and your brain won't shrink as fast. Great, great solutions. The power of big government, the NIH, the World Health Organization, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, continuing to stymie real information by promoting studies that state the obvious without stating the real solutions. Those are the things you get here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as well as Natural News Radio and Mike Adams, Natural News. And we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Liam Sheff's popping in studio. We're going to start previewing our way to a conspiracy reality. Oh, yes, conspiracy realist. Where are you? Are you out there? Call me now, 866-939-2355. Where are we going on the Robert Scott Bell Show? Hold on to your hats, put on your seatbelt, whatever, or don't, to your freedom. Anyway, we love covering this stuff, and I love having you here with me every day. Check out robertscottbell.com. Coming right back after this with more news.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the Natural Health Community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
What are kids abusing now? They're not going to the doctor. They're not going to the corner drug store, the corner drug dealer, in fact. They may be going to your medicine cabinet. Moms, dads, you listening? If you have those meds, look out. Lock them up because the kids may not be all right. The kids might be abusing pharmaceutical drugs. I remember in the day, and by the way, I want to welcome back in studio. We're going to do some conspiracy realism, but before that, we got a few more news stories we got to cover. My dear friend, investigative journalist, Liam Sheff is back.
Woohoo!
Oh, Mr. Excitement.
He's right here.
Yeah, glad to have you on board here. Do you remember back in the day kids, what they used to do? They used to, like, sneak in and raid their parents' liquor cabinet, right? Sneak some liquor and they would drink to get drunk. This is not an endorsement of that. It's just that's what it used to be. Now we're hearing stories of kids abusing basically pharmaceutical FDA-approved drugs, the kind that they can get from their parents, because their parents are all on drugs. I mentioned Congress on drugs, but I guess they're just a reflection of the American electorate.
Kids are experimenting creatures. We would do whatever we were given pixie sticks when we had helium balloons. We would breathe that in.
Pixie sticks?
Pixie sticks. You know, that's a kind of gateway drug.
Well, I mean, yes, it's like crack cocaine sugar. It's pure sugar, colored as well in straws.
What I'm saying is no sane human being in the history of the world ever took powdered, sour, sweet, weird stuff from a tube and then ate it. This was something dropped on us in the 70s. But we would suck out the helium out of balloons.
Right.
Some kids would, and we'd say, hey, how does it make me sound? And we would go and anything that we could find, we would take. I didn't live in a heavily pharmaceutical era. I mean, there was a song called Mother's Little Helper. It was, you know, by the Rolling Stones. It was still considered something that you would dip into. It was still considered problematic and somewhat embarrassing.
Right.
But now we live in the home pharmacy. Of course, things like, you know, deadly, 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 deadly drugs like marijuana, which relax you.
just cool, man. You know, that's why you not have a warring nation when the whole nation would be having ganja going on. But
thank God those are illegal to protect us.
Yeah.
But we've got Prozac, Zoloft, Ritalin sandwiches for kids. Feed them Captain Crunch and Cookie Crisp in the morning and then put them on Ritalin to take them off. Or even to boost them up, whatever it's supposed to do. We're a totally pharmaceutical nation. So what do they mean by abuse?
Well, in this case, they're talking about they're basically utilizing just some of the ones you just mentioned. Listen to the four top ones here that they're using. The Ambien, sleeping pills like Ambien. Anti-anxiety medications like Xanax. I hear people crunching these things up and snorting them. Stimulants like Ritalin, which we know is methylphenidate or something like that. It's a chemical kissing cousin to PCP, which was known as angel dust back in the 70s, I guess 80s. And opioid painkillers like OxyContin. I mean, literally, they're using the FDA-approved variety. Are the kids under the impression that these may be safer than street drugs? I mean, is this the impression the federal authorities are giving? Is like, well, it's approved by the FDA. How bad can it be? I'll just borrow some from mom and dad.
We do what mom and dad did. I remember I was at a party in high school, lo these many decades ago. And, man, this is awful. I'm telling this story. I was looking in the freezer. Why? I don't know. Kids are always eating, right? And I noticed an oddly shaped bunch of tinfoil, and I took it out, the investigative young man that I was, and I opened it, and I thought, oh, this looks like marijuana. And I took it to the owner of the house, and I said, what is this in the freezer? He said, oh, my God, that's my dad's. Well, it was quickly brought out and, of course, used by the kids at the party. What I'm saying is what you leave around the house is what kids will do. And I'm not a pothead. I'm not endorsing being one. I don't use that. But what you hide, the curious young person who wants to know what their parents do and how they live, that's what we do. We're indoctrinated by all of this.
And by our parents especially. I mean, good Lord, you know, who are we going to see more often than not throughout our lives? And, you know, as they say, do as I say, not as I do. And we've now got generations of parents that have basically adopted the drug philosophy, that take drugs, that you see your parents, a headache, pop a pill, whatever's happening, pop a pill, ailments, pop a pill. You know, and as you said, some of the parents out there that are smoking marijuana. And as I said, I think it's a much safer so-called drug. It's a plant than a lot of the stuff coming out of FDA. I don't particularly endorse it. I don't use it. I've referenced this before on the air that the only time I ever did, it was inadvertent. It was just breathing the air at a Foghat concert in 1979 in the Omni, the old Omni in Atlanta. I do remember the air
Slow
was thick with
ride.
It. You remember that? That's great. Great songs, man. That's the kind of – but the reality is they're doing it because you do it. Now – when people
Robert
question
Scott
me,
Bell got high at a Foghat concert.
I don't think I did because I was breathing shallow. Because I was like, it was like, don't breathe deep. And the reason is because I just didn't have the concept of, I didn't understand why, how do I say this? People would purposefully bring smoke into their lungs. it just wasn't illogical to me. It was like, dude, I want clean air. I don't want to do that. You know, they talk about burning fires and houses. Run out. Don't breathe it. So I took that seriously.
You lightweight.
Yeah, I know. But funny enough, yesterday, my son, my 11-year-old son, calls me a hippie. He did. He called me a hippie. Now, I would brush it off as just a funny remark because my hair is short. I don't smoke weed. I do like granola occasionally. But then this morning, guess what happened, Liam? One of the gals that was working out at the boxing thing this morning, she called me a hippie. I said, have you been talking to my son? Out of the blue, hippie. Why? Because I eat organic food, I think. I think that makes me a hippie now. So.
Because you don't take drugs. Because I mean, that's
the new hippie.
Yeah.
No drugs?
I don't take drugs, therefore I'm – you eat – oh, what do you eat? Organic stuff? You radical hippie.
Well, my own 11-year-old now calls dad a hippie. I don't know what to make of this. And then some stranger lady, I mean, I've worked out with her. She calls me a hippie, too. I have to laugh at that. It's just very funny. But the idea of, you know, the crunchy granola sweet of the 60s, you know, the health food nuts, if they called them that. Remember we talked to Dick Gregory about this. He said something like, you know, when I was drinking, they didn't call me an alcohol nut. You know, when I was doing drugs, they didn't call me a drug nut. But when I started eating healthy, they called me a health nut.
Right.
Wasn't that weird?
Because we're supposed to be drinking. We're supposed to be smoking cigarettes. At least we used to be.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, that was de rigueur. You were just supposed to smoke. It was cool. It was relaxing. There are the drugs that make a lot of money for the government. There are the drugs that, for some reason, are not supposed to make a lot of money for the government, but make huge profits for overseas cartels, like perhaps the CIA.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to trade in that sort of thing. I mean, the great argument for making the softer drugs legal is that they would be an economic boon and they would be controlled the same way that all other things are and probably ruined and sprayed with pesticides, even though they don't need to be and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
These controlled substances really come from a more nefarious place, and we're treating it lightly, but they come from the IB Farbens of the world and the Bears of the world. They come through sort of the machine pharmaceutical state, machine pods, little flesh pods, rather than individual souls with the right to self-determination. So you have a problem or you don't have a problem, we'll tell you that you have a problem. You have, you know, itchy toenail disease, even though you never had it before, you have it today because we now have this drug that seems to stop in some people toenails from itching or also makes the toenails just come off. But anyway, you're going to be the new market for this drug.
We're going to have to check your liver enzymes every month while you're on it. And, you know, this article, which you think would be like an anti-drug message, it actually is promoting the very same drugs that are being abused by the kids. There's one sentence in here that is stunning, even though they're acknowledging the addiction, the abuse of these prescription drugs. They're also now saying teens who strayed from the doctor's prescriptions were more likely to smoke, binge drink, and use illegal drugs than those who followed the medical instructions. So basically, it's not about the drugs. It's about which kind of drugs. Even though they're abusing the which kind of drugs, the prescription, they want you on them instead of, well, we don't want you off of these because you're more likely then to smoke and use other drugs.
You remember the commercial from the 80s, the PSA? son, where did you learn to do marijuana? I learned it from you, Dad.
Yeah, that was another big piece.
Son, where did you learn to chew Prozac when you were upset? I learned it from you, Dad.
Yeah, well, exactly. And of course, I do remember the other one. Was this from the 90s? It's like, this is your brain. And then they crack an egg. This is your brain on drugs. It's like, no, this is your brain on the mainstream media. You know, this is the kind of thing that they're promoting. And this is an article that proves more evidence of their insanity. And these kids don't need any of these drugs. That you treat a kid as if they have a prescription drug deficiency disease we talk about childhood abuse, and oftentimes it's the government saying these parents are abusing their kids, or even better, Liam, medical neglect. You didn't vaccinate your child. You didn't give your child that drug. We're going to take your children away and get them drugged like we say they should be. And so a lot of parents are, you know, almost frightened into this allopathic medical concept. Oh my gosh, if I don't, there's a story last Sunday on my GCN show that I covered about a family that they just had another baby in a hospital up in Michigan. They want to remain unnamed, and they didn't want this child to be vaccinated, this baby. But the hospital staff took the child, vaccinated him against the will of the parents. Now, the parents wanted, you know, there was a groundswell of support immediately, an outpouring kind of like with the Julie Bass situation of the garden in the front yard. And we're learning now that they want to remain anonymous. They're afraid. They're afraid of losing their child over this issue, that they fight too much against the government to say, hey, we didn't want the child vaccinated. You vaccinated. I would be, you know, beyond livid, and I'm not a violent man, but this makes me very angry. And they are afraid of losing their child simply because they're not doing what the medical allopathic community, which is basically endorsed by the big government complex all the way down to the state and local municipalities and hospitals under monopoly medicine, that would force these children to have these things. And if you don't, we're going to take your kids.
Yeah, I'm going to get into trouble for saying this, but I'm wondering when somebody is going to rebel in a way that would be considered illegal or radical to this oppressive machine state. I mean, people can only take so much. The food supply has been genetically modified. There are peer-reviewed studies. People like those for some reason, but there are peer-reviewed studies that show that animals, rats, mammals being fed these genetically modified things have such terrible problems, some resulting in death. We should take note. We don't. Whatever remains of organic food is now suspect, and non-GMO food is suspect because of all the cross-pollination. Farmers who grow normal food are then sued by ADM and Monsanto for growing food that they didn't plant because of...
You stole our genetic drift, basically.
I think you'd have to say intentional cross-pollination.
Sure.
They sue these guys out of business. We're now forcing drugs into children, forcing animal proteins into children to prevent them from getting some kind of cold or flu. It's so contradictory. When somebody's going to rise up and say enough is enough, I'm sure they'll be. I'm not advocating that they do, but I'd like to do this in a non-violent activist way. But you feel this point coming in the society. It's a kind of madness. We're encroached upon by all sides by these sort of men with syringes and mm-hmm. sharp knives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're supposed to just shrug our shoulders. Oh, roll over, watch The Bachelorette, go to sleep with Ambien in our face, wake up eating.
Well, the kids are snorting it. Why not? It's all the rage. Listen, if you're having a hospital birth, I will just say this right now. You make sure that you put your birth plan in place. If you don't want vaccinations, whatever. You don't want your baby washed, they shouldn't wash your baby. By the way, your baby is not born dirty. That's another story altogether. But this is the thing. You need to have somebody with you, if it's not a spouse, somebody that will not let that baby out of your sight for a second if you're in that environment, because it is proven now that they will steal your children and force medicate and force vaccinate because it's their religion. It is their cult. And it may not be yours. It's certainly not ours here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. By the way, am I a hippie? Call me. Let me know. 866-939-2355. 866-939-2355. We're going to take a call on the question that we covered on yesterday's show about the superbugs. We got a call on that. I've got Liam Sheff in studio, and then we're going to become conspiracy realists after the top of the hour. Lots of cool stuff today on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. Coming right back after this.
Looking for FDA-approved radio. You're listening to the wrong show.
This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Yes, it's hippie boy Robert Scott Bell back with you with my good friend Liam Sheff and upcoming Conspiracy Realism. And that's going to be a very cool hour, very special hour, never covered in the daytime in talk radio in this way anywhere on planet Earth. And we're going to do that next. But first and foremost, yesterday we covered a story about the rising superbugs. And now that there were superbugs, you remember that, Liam? That was interesting. You gave a lot of good insights as well as far as some natural options for people to go with in this regard. And we got a call asking for more information. There's always more. There's always more to know. I may talk some homeopathy, whatever. But Joni, our good friend Joni, is back on the line. Go ahead, Joni.
Hey, Robert. It's your friend Joni Cox calling from Illinois. I was just wanting to know more about how we can eradicate superbugs and the power of silver, hydrosol silver, like as found in Sovereign Silver. There are some studies out there that show that silver is a great way to reduce superbugs, and you know how we can give that to even our children in helping to kill off superbugs that they get after so many of them are on, you know, 10 different rounds of antibiotics with chronic ear infections. I just thought it would be good to talk about that for a little bit. So I can't wait to hear your answer. Thanks a lot.
All right, Joni. Well, thank you for that call. And Liam, you know, it's interesting when we go to the realm of silver. I know you and I have talked about this a bit, and I've lectured on it. I've been studying intentionally about it. I don't talk all the time about it, but it is one of those powerful substances, a basic trace element or mineral, if you will, or metal, that has this amazing property among many that it is antimicrobial. Now, one of the things that was curious about that story yesterday, Liam, we were talking about the expression of DNA. We talked about gene expression based on stresses in the environment. It caused these microbes to suddenly become resistant, if you will, to these strains of drugs, multi-drug resistant strains as well. What was unusual yesterday was that it also said that the super strains are now being confirmed in some cases to be stronger just in general for survival than the older strains like Staphylococcus aureus and methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus. Now that to me is indicative of obviously it's integrating more than just an adaptation to that one thing. But the good news is that silver has a multi, let's say, factorial approach. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. We have an oxygen carrying capacity with silver that is unlike any other element, just about, that it can carry up to 10 times its atomic weight in oxygen. That alone is devastating to these anaerobic microbes, so to speak, these bacteria. They don't like oxygen. Oxygen's not good, but your own immune system needs a lot of oxygen, the B lymphocytes, the white blood cells, in the production of reactive oxygen species. Now, this is what your own immune system uses to go after the bad guys. So this is good. We're supporting your own immune cells in conjunction with a direct interaction.
You hippie.
It's the hippie scientist now, I guess. Yippee-dippee-doo, I like silver. And, of course, the hydrosol form is non-toxic. It's a form closest to the homeopathic form that I feel is safe for my kids and people that come to seek out my help. Now, the other thing is it disrupts the metabolic and respiratory pathways of these bacteria, these microbes, and even these resistant strains. And I often said, you know, how many billions of years this planet's been around? I don't know. But a long time. And in all that time, they have yet to develop resistance to silver. And I'm thinking that if they were going to, they might have done it by now. So it may be reasonable to posit that they're probably not going to be resistant to the active state of silver. What is that? Positively charged silver nanoparticles, cations. And these things can literally bind or punch through the membrane surrounding the bacteria, and that will obviously terminate their life. But your cells have protective mechanisms against this, so the stress or damage caused to the microbes does not simultaneously happen to your healthy mammalian cells. This is, again, good news. Why we can utilize it with great safety and expectation of phenomenal results. The big concern I have with people that are, you know, multi-drug resistant strains and hopped up on all kinds of infections is that their liver pathways, detox pathways of elimination are congested. And that even if they're successful in overcoming the infection initially, the debris of the immune battle, the field loaded with the dead bodies, doesn't get cleaned up. Now, that becomes a cesspool for other problems, and that can result in secondary or tertiary, if you will, complications post-infection. And so we look to, yes, eradicate infection, but we want to support elimination. So I come back to liver support. I come back to selenium, all the good things that we know we need to do here. Liver, 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 liver. In the macrobiotic realm, Liam, you know that very well. The liver is also acknowledged to be very important.
Yeah, that's the Chinese medicine perspective. And treating the liver and dealing with the energy is named in Chinese medicine. Dampness, dryness, warmth, heat, coolness are essential in addressing and maintaining health issues. Common sense will tell you that eating fresh vegetables, both raw and lightly cooked, are cleansing for the blood, the organs, and the liver. The most important thing, though, of course, in life, and I think maybe I'll put you on the I'll put you on the hot seat about this. So maybe you need to be interviewed. We'll see.
Oh boy,
we need to pick your brain about this kind of stuff. But
all right,
this,
all right.
The liver, as I think we were talking earlier, and you said the liver is responsible for some. What did you say?
Oh, well over 500 known functions, with more being discovered, and they mostly surround detoxification. So anything we can do to support it, we talk about selenium, people like milk thistle, dandelion. There's so many things we can do. And we're almost out of time here this hour, but we're going to do some conspiracy realism in a moment. I will add one element to the question that Joni asked about silver. If it's small enough, if it's down below 10 nanometers as it is in a hydrosol, it has the capacity to pass through, if you will, the membrane that's weakened of a bacteria or a fungus, and travel to the mitochondria and bind to the DNA, which stops that pathogen from reproducing, again, stopping infection. So it's a powerful adjunct tool. It's not the only thing I necessarily use, because I'm a holistic kind of guy, and I want to promote detoxification in combination with eradication of infection. They go hand in hand. Listen to some of my shows with Dr. Batara when we talk about the 9 steps to keep the doctor away. You'll know what we're talking about. So, yippee-dippee-hippee, we've reached the end of hour one. That means the beginning of hour two of the Robert Scott Bell Show today. My good friend Liam Sheff down here in studio. Secret plots, secret plans were going on here. We're going to do some conspiracy realism after the break. Are you ready, Liam?
Hey, I'm here. I got my tinfoil hat right on.
Well, in the meantime, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
We have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Are you ready for some dangerous Robert Scott Bell Show radio? Not the hippy-dippy Robert that you heard last hour, but one that's going to cover some subject matter that we don't typically cover in the daytime in polite company. Or maybe polite company. We're going to try and be polite about this. But there is a video traveling around YouTube. It's getting pretty popular, and it stars my good friend, the producer monkey. No, he's only there for a moment. That's a friend of Liam Sheff. Investigative journalist joins me in studio now, and we are going to launch a very specific and special hour of the Robert Scott Bell Show that, I sometimes jump into these things and do some cursory discussions about them. We're going to get to some nuances and some, I don't know how, we're not going to do surgery because we're not into surgery, but we're going to think logically, rationally, and we're gonna go into some conspiracy realism. This video you did, Liam, on how to become a conspiracy realist. Where did this come from?
Well, before we start, I just want to get it out in the open that it's a fact, and everybody knows this, that lizard people, in conjunction with the Loch Ness Monster, also Bigfoot, are in an underground bunker 7 miles beneath the White House, and they are pulling your strings right now.
Yes, people. Just get that out of the way now so we can move on. Shall we? Yes, let's. This is the thing. I've always been one, Liam, that I've covered these things, I've talked about them, but in a very, sometimes a veiled term, because I think that there's so much emotionalism that people don't hear the words, they don't respond rationally, they go into that emotional knee-jerk, oh, you're going to talk about lizard people. And I like lizard people. I mean, I haven't met any that I know. Well, actually, Donald Rumsfeld, he's a lizard person. That's another story. He may be involved somewhere here. But the reality is, if we call about conspiracy realism, is looking at and dissecting, perhaps, things that have happened in history, learning from history. I know much of my young life, Liam, growing up in the United States, I learned, a form of history that was patently untrue or completely revised to eliminate that which whoever was teaching me didn't want me to know. Case in point, homeopathic medicine. Nowhere in my upbringing, my education in the government schools from elementary to primary, or prior to that to elementary, to middle school, high school, and then on to university system, was there ever a mention, I never saw the word written, homeopathy. Come to find out in my young, 20s, mid-20s, when I learned of homeopathic medicine, that it was deeply entrenched in the entire, pretty much the entire medical history of the United States. Homeopathy came about in the 1790s. Much of the 19th century, which is the 1800s in America, homeopathic medicine was a mainstay of medicine. I mentioned often about the war between the states. The Union and civil, the Southern soldiers had homeopathic medicine kits. If they could lie to me about that, if they could erase history that efficiently about one form of medicine that is a dominant form of medicine on planet Earth, even today in the 21st century, what else could they do? That's kind of what opened my eyes to the possibility. It's just so you get in my head to see how I was then open to say, okay, that's huge. What else could there be? How can we be realist about this as opposed to theorists that are, let's say, just dismissed out of hand, like they try to do by saying the C word. Oh, C word, you said conspiracy. How do we get beyond that?
Right. The term that is thrown around is conspiracy theorist, which means that you're inventing ideas. Really, what we're talking about and what I do in my work, what a lot of researchers do in their work, is they try to be students of history. And I thought, well, what is conspiracy? Conspiracy is when two people get together, they close a door, and they make a deal. So when a deal is done out of sight, they can later be accused of having conspired against the public. Adam Smith, who I consider the actual founder of this country,
yes,
because this is an economic model that says build as much as you can and sell it for the highest price you can that the market will bear. That's really what America is. It's an economic experiment. Adam Smith, author of The Wealth of Nations, said that any time two businessmen meet in public, you can be sure it's in an attempt to raise prices. It's a conspiracy to raise prices. So it's a conspiracy against the public. It was well understood then that business is a conspiracy. Carol Quigley says politics is the normal conspiracy is the normal continuation of politics by normal means, which is a play on the term by the military historian who said that war is a continuation of politics by other means. If you look at great historical works on warfare, John Keegan's A History of Warfare, I think, is excellent. You see over and over again, society really conspires to wage war on another society. Now we say that we live in a democracy. We pretend that we vote for things.
Yes.
Mostly we're totally uninterested in the actual politics and processes of a nation as it involves another nation. So we're not taught, growing up and looking at American history, that we had manifest destiny, we took over, and then people say, yeah, but the Indians lived here first, oh, well, they lost. We're not talking about conspiracies anymore. We're not saying that even George Washington sent out missives saying, here's how you get rid of the natives, just either buy them out. It's easier to buy them out than to kill them, but we're going to take over the entire land. It's our right.
Yes.
We then get into what I used to call hidden history, but it's actual history. You get into the papal encyclicals of the 15th century, in which the Pope, using the divine right of kings, the vicar of Jesus Christ on earth, all this kind of stuff, said to the king of Portugal, you can have all of Africa and you can enslave everybody there, and I can say so because I'm an authority. And he said to the king and queen of Spain, you can take everything in the Americas and enslave everybody there, or at least convert them to Christianity and take their gold. This is a kind of a history that's loosely referred to. You get out of school and you get into some sort of agitating politics and you say, well, there are big injustices, and everybody says, yes, but they lost.
Okay.
So let's be in the present now and ask ourselves the questions. What are the events of today that are being hidden from us, the way that when we were in school, these major realities of the colonization of the world, really, hidden from us?
Yeah, let me put it also in terms of what I remember in my scholastic upbringing or indoctrination. They talked about history, or they taught history, in terms of historical dates, times, and places, and maybe what happened in those moments, all right, or a spot or a smidgen of what happened. But it was never taught in terms of relating it to another event. There was no link, a causal link, that this happened, which led to this, and this is the reason why that happened, and these are the people, what were their motivations, right? It was an isolated, this happened, the war of this. And I think in that way, it got me very disinterested in history early on. Now, I have an amazing fascination of history that happened post-school when I started reading on my own. Not what the history books as they were written for the school students, but that which was written, the unedited, perhaps, or the politically incorrect aspects to history. And we look now, as I said, I bring up A Divided Legacy by Harris Coulter. This is the, you know, the series of books, volumes thick. You could work out with them. You get as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger in his steroid days. And there's a lot of information in there that was completely washed out of the history books about, as I said, the medical history of the United States. That's one small yet large example, glaring example. You're going back further. Who wrote those history books, and how do they teach it in such a way where it was about who's winning? Now we're on to Charlie Sheen, by the way. It's all about the conspiracy of winning. So where do we go in the theory of realism? I have a story here that would just popped up on Facebook from a friend on the patenting of genes. I mean, we could have been talking about this 10 years ago. Well, there's a conspiracy to patent genes, and the government's going to get behind this, and they're going to make your life patentable. And people would have said, well, that's just a conspiracy theory. You're nuts. We'll dismiss it. Now it's reality. It's happening. And a lot of these things that used to be considered far afield, tinfoil hat territory, like you mentioned, previewing into this, are now accepted as, oh, that's conspiracy fact. But don't say conspiracy.
Right. The idea that there are conspiracies is considered something that to be mocked in the mainstream. Every story, every day, is about how some great thing has been revealed now through some document rising to the surface. In other words, the mainstream media makes its bread and butter telling you about conspiracies, not just fires and thefts and robberies, but conspiracies. The Enron conspiracy, the WorldCom conspiracy, the Republicans accuse the Democrats of conspiring to get some horrible bill and hiding it from the American people. The entire world is about people getting together and making deals, and they're most of the world is left out of those deals. The question you then have to ask is, are there deals being made that would be so abhorrent, not to the historical human species, but to our today's notion of what we are as a society? So if those deals being made are abhorrent to what we consider ourselves to be, are they going to be hidden from us? Are people going to complicitly and subconsciously hide events? And let's talk specifically. We can talk about the creation of the CIA. We can talk about the idea that there are secret governments at work, which we know exist. That there have always been secret governments at work, that the Roman Empire had essentially a secret government. They pretended to be some sort of republic in which some people could talk and argue about what was going to be a law.
Right.
But when Caesar invaded Gaul, it was considered an illegal war. He did it anyway. He bought off the people by throwing them triumphs and festivals. The Senate more or less impeached him as being a criminal, but he came back and he had the higher hand, and he was allowed to rule for a few years before they conspired to murder him in the Curia, which they did.
Yes.
You know, and then there's a long series of battles and wars in Rome. The emperors, then the Republic was gone. They became an empire. The emperors all had these Praetorian Guards protecting them. Every once in a while, the emperor would be unpopular. The Praetorian Guard would get bought off by somebody in the cadre, sometimes the mother of the empire,
right,
the would
families.
Be then murdered by the... Of course, conspiracy is the normal way of doing politics by normal means.
But isn't it amazing how they've been able to convert the word itself into such a buzzword that can automatically... the programming in most people is just shut down. It's not real. That is a pretty profound, amazing thing that you can take, if we talk in terms of Jungian psychology, collective unconsciousness, whatever, that somehow they've really rippled through the universe. This word has this vibration, and it will cause you to shut down your own thought processes and not ask questions and immediately dismiss the reality of something like that. I mean, that to me alone is a conspiracy extraordinaire.
It relates to... Here's the major question. What is the nature of the human species? I've asked this question to myself many times. I've done as much reading about it as I continue to. The answer I come up with is complex. We're tribal. We align in tribal identity. You can be in the Nike tribe. You can be in the white tribe if you believe in that kind of thing. You can believe in the North American tribe. You can be in the Iranian tribe. You can be in the Apple tribe or the PC tribe. We're hierarchical. We always band into hierarchies. We always want some sort of king figure. We've got the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs and the Clintons and the Bushes and all of these bits of aristocracy. Well,
can I be the little asterisk on the side? I don't want that.
I know you don't.
You know I don't. That's right. Okay.
But this is what we do as a species. I've observed it over time. You can observe it yourself. Tribal, hierarchical, we form around belief systems, we form around identity points, and those can shift and those can mm-hmm. change. It's more important that we live inside of this tribal hierarchy than inside of a reality or facts. Facts yeah. come and go, but tribal identity and hierarchy stay. So we can believe things that aren't true. This is the thing that they never teach us in school. You believe things that aren't true. It is your nature to do so. It is human nature.
Well, that leads to some more discussion of conspiracy realism or conspiracy realist with Liam Sheff today. And we're going to talk about some things, including CIA. And we may even get into, yeah, that's right, 9/11/2001, and talk about some conspiracy realities here. Yes, in the day, in the light of day, shine in that sunlight, disinfect the misinformation here. On the Robert Scott Bell Show. We'll be right back with more powerful healing. Thank you for being here. Go to robertscottbell.com for all the great links, including to the video of Liam Sheff and his conspiracy realist perspective.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, as always, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com, as well as naturalnewsradio.com, where you're listening right now. Enter your email address. You'll have the link ups to all the news we're covering, including a lot of the links we're talking about this hour with Liam Sheff, investigative journalist. He's from liamsheff.com, and we have all those links up as well. We're talking conspiracy realists and conspiracy realism. In the light of day, Liam, how are we doing this? I'm so glad to have you on board again.
I'm glad to be here, too. I liked what you said in the last segment about the family information that you had, learning about not learning about what you eventually followed, which was homeopathy, what you eventually became a in looking at all of the medical textbooks, you don't see the word mentioned. It's just excised. It's not that there's not a history. It's that the people who write history write the rules. So the people who win write the right.
Yes, so it's winning again.
It's the winning. We're winning. It's gone because it challenges today's ruling paradigm. Now, I grew up in a family, and I look back now, and I think, my goodness, these people actually conspired to keep reality not only away from me, but from themselves. I grew up in a family that was, my father's side was Jewish, and my mother's side wasn't. But, of course, they actually were. They just hid the Jewish part of their past. My great-grandfather, and I only learned this in the last couple of years,
yeah,
was the first Jewish president of Yale Medical School. You think that that's something that they would have been proud of, but he wasn't really a Jewish president. He shortened his name in essence.
So he pretended he was who he wasn't or wasn't who he was in order to get this position. Now, you talk about Yale. You have a lot of conspiracies coming out of Yale. You talk about Skull and Bones and Bush and all that. But, you know, what's the reality? I don't want to spend a lot of time on that particularly, but it is interesting. I've always had the suspicion of these so-called Harvard, Ivy League, and even a lot of higher institutions of learning, as they're called. I call them higher institutions of indoctrination, that there was some kind of, let's say, mental construct that they wanted to, you know, keep everyone suppressed to, a belief system that I rebelled against. Even though I went there, I rebelled against it because it just didn't feel right. It was like seemingly limiting, putting people in a box or in a cage in some way. And certainly by erasing history, you do cage people to alternate views of reality.
These schools breed the present aristocracy. So if my great-grandfather was the dean, the first Jewish, you know, dean of Yale Medical School, he, not letting people in, lived with the status quo. At that point, the status quo was that Jews didn't work in medical school, didn't become doctors. Well, that all changed, and that's a different story. But to go to Harvard, to go to Yale, as people in my family have, is to be indoctrinated into a worldview that you're commanding the heights. And when you think you're aristocracy, you think you can go into other places and tell people how to live. You're just frankly born with the idea that And this is an ancient historical idea.
Ancient elitism.
Yes, aristocracy is, after monarchy, the longest form of government on earth. Monarchy being the longest and most stable, whatever people think of it, it is historically the longest.
Well, we did piss off the monarchs here in the United States when that was founded. There was a bit of that going on.
Right, but we
immediately embraced it as well.
Right, we immediately developed an aristocracy, and that's what people argue against, the rich, landowning white men. But let's talk about these schools, Harvard, Yale, Princeton.
Sure.
These schools became targets after World War II for young men seeking adventure to go and join something called the CIA. And when we say CIA, you either have to believe there is a CIA or you believe that somehow there isn't. And if you accept the reality that there's a central intelligence agency and it has a history, the history is it bloomed out of something called the OSS or Office of Strategic Service, I think,
yes,
which existed during World War II. Why? To spy, to infiltrate the European countries, which were not our friends at that point, which are now our friends, but to infiltrate, and they had tens of thousands of people infiltrating and working in Europe under the OSS. You can find a guy called Alan Dulles taking over the CIA after it becomes the CIA, from the OSS to the CIA. You can see President Truman signing the act, the National Security Amendment or action, I'm sorry that it's slipping away from my head, but mm-hmm. In 47 he signs the National Security Act and creates the CIA. You could see the picture. The CIA exists from 47, 48, 49, 50, 50. By 53, the CIA topples its first foreign government. This is either something I'm making up or it's an historical fact.
It is accepted. You know, Iran was toppled. They placed the Shah in, of course. They never were really happy about the situation, which led eventually to the hostage crisis, the 444 days, bizarrely enough, that, you know, under the Carter administration when the Ayatollah and all of that was happening. And even, you know, Ron Paul, bless his heart, is acknowledged that that's a real reason why eventually 9/11 happened. You know, these kind of things were, you know, stimulating anger and hatred because of what they call it, the CIA, even, if you will, called it blowback, that there was a reality, there was a cause and effect link that was lacking, certainly in the way they taught history to me.
So this organization of young men who seeking adventure, wanting to command the heights, like Ralph McGeehy and Philip Aggie and David Attlee Phillips, coming from these institutions of these exclusive institutions of higher learning, which you can only gain entrance into, especially the clubs like Skull and Bones, which is a real fraternity. It's either real or it isn't. No, it's actually real.
Right.
You can go to Yale and you can look at the building and not be allowed in. You know, it exists, and either the leaders of this country happened to go there, Kerry and Bush and so on, or they didn't. Well, they did. So this is, you start adding this stuff together, and you start connecting the dots. So you say, CIA existed, it toppled the government in 53, then in 54, Guatemala, knocking out the democratic elected leader who wanted to nationalize the fruit fields and give them to the Guatemalan people. Well, there was a guy running the CIA called Alan Dulles. Here's a name we should have learned in school.
Well, Dulles Airport in Washington, right out of Washington, big time, yeah. CIA guy.
CIA guy. His brother, John Foster Dulles, these were Wall Street lawyers. They helped get money out of, a lot of people think, really the Nazi economy of Germany, and made money for industrialists here in America, including the Bush, Prescott Bush, and Herbert Walker, getting money for people even while the war was going on. I mean, some people, like the elders in the Bush family, are considered by some historians to be traitors, essentially, because they got money through that process.
Played both sides of the war.
Right, and the argument from an economist would be, well, they had to make money somehow.
Right, profiting is what we do, right?
Right, so, you know, whichever way the coin falls at the end, nobody can predict, so they weren't really that bad. Well, you got to make a decision at some point. I mean, you see these death camps being built, maybe you want to divest from IB Farben and Bayer.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing. I've talked about this, although the pharmaceutical companies have been very profitable, when you understand what they are doing, at a certain point, do you ask the question, how do I support this? Yes, I profit from it, but, you know, can you justify it? Well, I'm going to use that money for good. Okay, maybe that's something you can live with. But these are very real questions about, do you prop up by participating in the very conspiracy to enslave you, or enslave your mind at the very least? I've talked about the use of our energy against us, those overlords, those elitists, whether it be in government or outside of government, to control and manipulate us through, I would have to call it black magic, I mean, and now they call it advertising and marketing, and PR firms in Madison Avenue know this very well.
The CIA continued to do its thing, and in the 50s, sent advisors by the thousands into Indochina or Vietnam, Southeast Asia. It wasn't a war. They were just advisors. No, I mean, come on. They were building. It was CIA warfare. They dropped bombs in the capital of Guatemala. In 60, 61, Zaire, the Congo, a guy called Patrice Lumumba wanted to have a Pan-African state, wanted independence over there. He's assassinated. He disappears. 61, the attention turns again. Alan Dulles turns the attention to Fidel Castro, the threat in the Northern Hemisphere. Castro, their attempts to invade, Operation Mongoose. I mean, they come up with these crazy names that you think you'd read in some cheap spy novel, but this is actual history. You can look it up, and it's either there or it isn't.
Right.
But, and then you have to look at this atmosphere in which Kennedy became president, fought with, tried to support, then fought with the CIA, publicly said in an interview, I'm going to splinter the CIA and scatter the ashes to the wind. Scatter the pieces to the wind. Why? Because he was being forced to use, he was asked to use the United States military to support a CIA invasion of Cuba. That was called the Bay of Pigs. The name rings in the ears, but we didn't learn about it in school. Mm. But it's a real thing. Kennedy then signed something called National Security Action Memoranda 263, pulling the first troops out of Vietnam with an idea that he was actually going to have the war ended by 65.
By the way, let me interrupt. Didn't he fire Dulles after the Bay of Pigs?
He fired Alan Dulles, who was, guess what, on the board of the United Fruit Company, which was losing money in Guatemala. Then the CIA invades Guatemala. Alan Dulles, whose brother John Foster Dulles had been Secretary of State, I think under Eisenhower. Alan Dulles and his immediate underlings, Richard Bissell, and General Cabell, all top three CIA guys gone, because Kennedy had had enough, I believe, of this CIA influence in international affairs. Well, what happened next? In November of 63, John Kennedy lost his head in Dallas. Apparently, the bullet that hit, this is the conspiracy theory, the bullet hit him from the Warren Commission, bullet hit him from behind and blew him and caused him to fly toward the direction of the bullet.
Right, yes. I studied this. In fact, we got one of the Zapruder tapes when I was many years ago in film and video. I did a lot of work in that realm before I was a homeopath and went into healing. And we actually got the Zapruder tape from the archives. They sent it, you know, they would send it out for research purposes. And I had my conclusions about it then, but it was clear what they claimed to have happened was ridiculous. I mean, you know, everybody laughed at the Warren Commission, said this is just a snow job, if you will, much like we go into the 9/11 Commission and the things that were and were not written in that. But, you know, all of these things happen in plain sight, right? Hiding in plain sight. Some of the times the most amazing things happen, not by subterfuge, but by doing it in plain view, like 9/11. It's amazing how we can work with the psyche to see things or program the belief of what we see by immediately following up and telling everybody what just happened, and how it just literally rewires our brain.
Remember, we're a tribal hierarchical species. The idea that the leader would have been killed by the Praetorian Guard, well, it's happened throughout history over and over.
It's not
again.
New. It's not new at all.
And there's Kennedy's parade route has changed. He goes under buildings with tall buildings with open windows. You can watch the video of the Secret Service being called off. You can see Secret Servicemen throwing their hands in the air in exasperation as they're called away from the Cadillac, whatever the car was.
Yeah, the big Lincoln, I think it was. But yeah, I saw the video. You have it also in your video, Conspiracy Realist. And so this is something that you can actually witness here. And I've got that link up. Those of you who want to really get back beyond conspiracy, go to reality. This is what we're doing this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, a very special edition in the daylight hours. Or if you're in Australia, you could be listening at midnight your time. Whatever, wherever, whenever. Spread the word. NaturalNewsRadio.com, RobertScottBell.com. We got a link to LiamChef.com as well. Taking a brief break, we're going to come back and continue with the conspiracy reality after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means and processing way to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Robert Scott.
I'm a warrior, okay, and that's what I bring to the table.
Robert Scott.
What's wrong with us, anyhow? Have we gone soft?
Robert Scott.
All real Americans love to fight.
Robert Scott.
I am the champion of the Constitution.
Robert Scott Bell. Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
You know, we've hinted at and danced around, touched on some of these subjects of the many times over the years that I've been able to interview my dear friend Liam Sheff here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And one of the greatest lines that he came out with that I've repeated a few times over the time is official stories are there to protect who? The officials. And of course, all of these things have a, you know, let's say a self-protective mechanism. All right, we've got some things we don't want you to know about. Let's tell the official story. Everybody will buy it, and we'll make everybody feel ridiculous if they question it. We'll call them a conspiracy theorist. And this is how information is altered, suppressed, etc., to the point where you're marginalizing the thinking class. If there is a thinking class in America or around the world, it's those that ask the questions. They cannot have you asking questions because that could lead to some answers that they don't want you to have or find. And that's part of the conspiracy reality this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Welcome back, Liam.
We're back. We were talking about John F. Kennedy. He was certainly a troubled president. There were many conspiracies in his cabinet to protect the public from knowing he was on a ton of drugs, that he was an intense womanizer, that his election was bought and paid for by his father, Joe Kennedy. The mob machine under, I want to say it's not traffic, under Giancana in Chicago bought this election. This is now well known, but we're not then supposed to say that. Who ended up on the Warren Commission? The Warren Commission, which came up with the official story, none other than our old friend Alan Dulles.
No, Dulles is back.
Yes, he was fired by Kennedy. Yes, he instigated coups in many countries to topple and assassinate leaders of other countries. Yes, he started the MKUltra program to take mental patients and destroy their minds and keep people and agents on psychoactive drugs like LSD for days and weeks at a time.
Something, by the way, is very commonplace that we do to our troops that come back from Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. We put them on these mind-altering drugs as a means of, we're helping them deal with the trauma. But the reality is, I think all of these drugs, in many cases, were born out of the MKUltra program, etc. And now they're just commonplace psychiatric drugging, normal. Don't ask.
And here's Dulles. He's on the Warren Commission. They come up with a study that's not even a study. They just took the FBI report. They ignored all the evidence. They ignored the fact that the majority of eyewitnesses saw and heard smoke and fire coming from a hill in front of where the guy was shot. So the official story, immediately rejected by a lot of people, had the institution of the press and the government behind it. And remember, we're tribal and hierarchical. So most people will fall back and say, I'm not an expert. They're the experts. I grant them the authority to make up my mind for me. The 9/11 Commission was run by a former governor of Texas, I believe, Thomas Keene. He has come out and said, this report, we were stymied, is more or less a whitewash. That's not reported in the press. What's reported is that there was no conspiracy in the events of 9/11. We're jumping from JFK, we're jumping through the 70s, through the CIA toppling of the government of Chile, through the Iran-Contra affair, where we sold weapons to an enemy to get money to run coups in South America.
Another covert operation, exactly.
Where we brought in drugs. We allowed these rogue CIA agents to bring in drugs to sell into the poor communities of America to raise money for more covert operations. We're just going to slide by all of that, where guys like Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld come up in the administrations of the 70s, go into private business in what? Weapons manufacturing. They come back into the administration after penning a document called the Project for a New American Century, in which they say,
we need an enemy, don't we?
Yeah, we got it. How do we motivate people to let the United States wage war in foreign countries, we'd need a Pearl Harbor.
We need a new Pearl Harbor. I mean, it's actually written in government documents, proposed this thing, and they end up back in government, and we are surprised that a new Pearl Harbor happens.
So the events of 9/11, the official story is that 19 hijackers with box cutters, 15 of them being Saudi Arabian, none of them being Iraqi, 19 hijackers with box cutters who could not fly planes, who were whoring, boozing, and drugging here in America, managed to stunt pilot planes that then caused buildings to dissolve, essentially, dissolve into dust. One hit the Pentagon. The good news for us, of course, is that the FBI took all of the video of what happened to the Pentagon. I guess they had nothing to hide.
They took it where?
It's gone. Nobody's allowed to ask. That video is gone. All you're allowed to see are these flash points of something hitting the Pentagon. People analyzing the damage say, where's the plane? By the way, there's a hole. It's about 16 feet wide with a pillar in the middle of it. So you've got 2 8-foot holes. There's a plane with a wingspan of, what, 140 feet?
Where did the rest of it go?
Where did the plane
go? Well, again, this comes back to the not asking the question. And if you can be marginalized by terms of words, you know, to feel ridiculed or marginalized in that way, it has been for a long time a very efficient method by which the discussion was not allowed to happen. I talk about rational discussion about subjects that, yes, may have some controversy about them. And that, of course, is an understatement in so many of the things we brought up here, particularly when it comes to the JFK issue, which has been studied about for 40 plus years and beyond. And now, of course, the 9/11, which we're now 10 years out. And still, if you ask the question, a lot of the media, even in the talk radio, where you think there's more open First Amendment discussion, they utilize that to bash you if you bring it up. And these are questions anybody with a lick of rationality would say, something doesn't add up, let's ask some more questions. But we come back to individualism versus collectivism. They know about that herd mentality, and they use it against you. They use it against us. That is why individualism, collectivism really is underlying all of this. The individualists are the most dangerous people to any society because they don't accept, and they, just like we said, we are not interested in having a king, a monarchy, or an aristocracy.
If you're a critical thinker and you keep your eyes open and you become interested in what I call this hidden history, which is publicly available, it's always hidden in plain sight. And through wonderful articles like the Freedom of Information Act, you can actually access government documents, and they'll more or less tell you what you're seeing is reality. They'll hint at it to such a degree that you'd have to take it seriously. You then look at the official story. You look at the guys peddling the official story. They say we were more or less forced to put out a whitewash to the American people because we were so stymied. Warren Commission, 9/11 Commission. Official stories really are there to protect official institutions. Now, the problem on the opposite side is conspiracy theorists. Now, we'll look at something like this, and they'll say, lizard people made it happen. Wait a second. Hold on. Stop. Wait. Yeah. Wait. Can't we just actually examine history? Praetorian guards assassinate the emperor. Can't we say it can happen 100 if it happens?
Only if they were lizard Praetorian guards.
No, this is just who people are and unfortunately what we do. This is human society. The reality is that human society again and again and again repeats these conditions and these actions. I believe 9/11 was clearly a complex intelligence operation. There's no way to collapse these. I'll say it. I think it was an intelligence operation. I think it clearly required great intelligence to make these buildings collapse at free fall speed into dust, to make Building 7 collapse at free fall speed into its own footprint, to make sure that whatever hit the Pentagon, we'd never see pictures of it, to make sure that whatever landed in Pennsylvania was just sort of dissolved and there was very little anything resembling a plane, just a crater, to put these stories forward that there were cell phone calls. Do you know that cell phone call was a very there were cell phone calls from the planes. That's now, do you know that's been retracted in the official record? Do you know that we were supposed to think there were cell phone calls, and then you go, well, actually, technically, the plane couldn't have made cell phone calls. There was no boosters for the signal. Oh, okay, there weren't cell phone calls.
Right.
That's just out of the official record.
Yeah, that happened. But again, it's whitewashed into history because the meme is repeated, and of course, the attacks are made to embarrass and ridicule. The willingness, I guess, to make a fool of yourself is a prerequirement. In order to be able to think and behave independently now, because it's likely if you ask questions And Liam, you've done this so well in the scientific realm, and it goes fascinating with the history. The more we learn about your own family's history in the development of scientism of the 20th century, we begin to understand that the asking of questions is the most dangerous act, particularly when they are rooted in rational thought processes, and they cannot be met with rationality. They have to be met with histrionics, irrationality, emotionalism, to frighten you back into your shell of collectivism.
I think the most important thing to remember is the nature of the species. We're always going to be tribal and hierarchical. If you're coming and asking a question which upsets the status quo, you're going to be met by a resistance which is not based in evidence or fact, but in willful ignorance or willful manipulation of thought forms. And we all do it all the time. Oh, I'm on a diet. I'm just going to have this one piece of chocolate cake. It won't hurt me. You've just lied to yourself, right? You know, we lie to ourselves a million ways a day, a million little ways every day, and we don't think about what it adds up to because we don't think we're the kind of person that would train a gun onto somebody we don't know and pull a trigger because we were asked to by a secret oath that we took to join a club that we met in Yale some years ago. We just don't think of ourselves as that, but we're not everybody.
Sure. Well, I liken it to the values that we place on life. We may have something here on the Robert Scott Bell Show and the people that listen to it, a value in life and human life and wanting to help heal, but not everybody shares our same viewpoint or value system. The fact is, we talk about Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation vaccinating poor people instead of, you know, cleaning their water. Or I don't know how many episodes do we have of denying the reality of cures for cancer that are outside the realm of oncology. And the doctors know it because they'll call someone like me, and I've talked to them when they have cancer, right? What do I do? I don't want to do what I do for my patients. So they knowingly are willing to discard the lives of others because, well, it's their job. They're paid to do it. You might not do it. I might not do it. But there are humans that are inhumane, not only to other humans, but animals as well. And that's something we have to take into account when we consider these horrific things. You may not believe you would ever do it. You might not ever do it. But there are people that will, that would, that do. And until you wake up and recognize that, you can be manipulated to believe everything is just a fairy tale.
We have people who have defected from the CIA, like Philip Agee and Ralph McGehee. Ralph McGehee was very important, honored, not decorated, but given commendations.
Commendation, yeah.
And then he comes out afterwards and said, I was going insane when I was in Southeast Asia because we were just killing people. And he actually says in interviews, I considered suicide. He said in an interview, I wanted to hang myself from the hotel window with a banner that said the CIA is guilty, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
He didn't. He went on to write a book. But you can look up Ralph McGehee. He was an All-American football player from Notre Dame, drafted a young man with a promising future, drafted to become a servant of... Well, there's a lot you can believe. There's so much that you can believe in the world. It's possible to believe that you're fighting for goodness and greatness and all these other things, and you end up with a gun in your hand pointed at somebody's head, and you pull the trigger because
it's
you
believe
you're stopping communism. You're stopping whatever. You're stopping terrorism.
You bought into the lies. And, of course, we've got to talk about some more healing of these conspiracy realities. When we come back, we've got one more segment here talking very rationally about this. We'll see if we can get a little irrational after the break, if we need to break this up. Liam Sheff continues with me on the Robert Scott Bell Show, very special edition, Conspiracy Realists, right here, right now, and after we get back from this break.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver Gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Liam, each day I do this Robert Scott Bell Show, I wonder if it's going to be the last day we do it. Now I'm really concerned because we've covered some very, I won't even say interesting and fascinating, but the areas that are taboo subjects. And I always knew we could do this in the day, but doing it in some way that's very thoughtful and it isn't, what would we say, filled with histrionics, or if we could say bombastic language so that you're so excited and excitable. I mean, I'm really trying to incite people to calmness about this. That, you know, as you said, this is just normal. This is what happens, has happened throughout history. You know, I could have just, you know, flown off the handle. Oh, how dare they never teach me about homeopathy? You know, never mention it. And I just went, no, I'm going to learn it. And I'm going to learn other things. And I'm going to learn other things. And at a certain point, you begin to pull the plug on the energy, if you will, the energy field that holds you trapped in this artificial prison, maybe invisible prison, or a prison where they want you to see things that they want you to see that may not even be there. But it takes, you know, to the theme of the Robert Scott Bell Show, getting well, getting nutrition in so we can think clearly, see clearly, act clearly on information, and of course have less fear. And they do operate on fear, do they not? I mean, fear is one of the great, most powerful tools to control people.
I think that this has to always be grounded in reality. It's possible to blame lizard people, but I don't see any lizard people. I just see people. Soylent Green is people. I just see people.
This I see dead people.
This is the way that we've always been. I like to ground it in the reality for myself. When I was a teenager, let's say 17, and I'd been approached, you know, by a recruiter who said, "You're very, very bright. And you seem to have a flair for language and these sorts of things. How would you like to have a job in which you get to travel around the world? You can make love to beautiful women in exotic hotels in foreign countries.
And you have an unlimited budget every day. You spend what you want.
We'll teach you to shoot guns and do martial arts. And you get to kill the bad guy. And you don't have to feel bad about it. Don't worry. They're enemies of freedom. And the first part, I'm so tuned into the first part, I don't even listen to the last part.
Right, right. You said, what about the women and this? You know, this is the kind of thing, this recruitment was happening, as we mentioned earlier, on these campuses. It appealed to a sense of patriotism. And, you know, we joke about this, you know, America. I mean, the ideal of America is still a wonderful thing. I'm very, very, you know, I defend the idea and concepts of liberty that the founders have brought out. And that's what, you know, we're striving for, to regain and retain. And so lest anybody concludes that we're anti-American in this context, we're talking about the history of the world, and that includes humans in the American system, in the continent. They're just human. And we've got to recognize, wake up, and see it, and then we can get past, again, the emotionalism that marginalizes the discussion or doesn't even allow the discussion like we're having today.
I think about the competitors in talk radio. They either take rather histrionic stands for. And I think of, you know, bless her for whatever you like her for, but I think of Laura Ingraham, right, who has no tolerance, forgive me, but I'm just going to say her name, no tolerance for anybody really being critical of the Republican Party or Washington. And then you get on the other side, and you look at Alex Jones, who you can admire, and I think I do, for courage.
Yes.
But who's, and the female are going to get it, and they'll eat you. And then you look at David Icke, who is all about how the lizard people run it, and you think, wait a second. We're a species. We have a nature. Let's examine history. Let's be honest about it. We don't actually have to say that this is new. It shouldn't really shock us. It should only wake us up to know what we're fighting for and fighting against. And what are we fighting for? The ability to make individual decisions. The ability to know what we're voting for. As I always say, did you vote for your local CA officer? Of course you didn't. We don't get to vote for our CA officers. They shouldn't be running the government. There is a secret government, and we have to get these idiot officials in Washington who pretend to make money out of nothing to understand that they're really pawns in a game. They don't institute the war. They just pretend to vote for it or not vote for it.
Well, and the truth is shocking, and it often is much easier to take drugs. We come back the last hour, we were talking about, yeah, kids on drugs because the parents are on drugs. And so if you can drug the culture, drug the society, detach them just enough from reality, they sort of still function, but they're very malleable, controllable, they're deficient in nutrients, they're dependent upon us. It is very easy to manipulate people into just going along. Just go along. Don't fight City Hall or whatever it is. And it takes a lot more energy to live and stand up and see reality and be shocked. And my God, it is shocking the things that people do, that humans do to other humans. We just see it pharmaceutically from time to time. Focus on that. But that's not the only area. And I think broadening the discussion here on the Robert Scott Bell Show is a very important thing. And Liam, you know, I'm thrilled that we were able to do it. I know there was a lot of trepidation to decide, well, would we? Could we? But it is time. It is time no longer to hide in the shadows on these subjects. And you have been a great voice in helping people see clarity or see clearly through these things and not being, you know, put off of off kilter by emotionalism.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I've just always been fascinated by history. I think it's that I studied Latin when I was growing up. And in studying Latin, you study the old Roman Empire. And when you study the old Roman Empire, there are no secrets. You understand human nature. It's written. It's long enough ago that we don't pretend that these assassinations and these manipulations didn't occur and secret wars didn't occur. They did. It's celebrated in Latin class. Latin is the most dangerous thing you can teach people.
You know, and that explains why they wouldn't teach it to me in high school. I demanded, I want to learn Latin because I had that propensity to go into medicine, and I knew a lot of medicine names were derived from Latin. I had no idea that I would learn Latin in homeopathy because I had no frame of reference again. But I understand why. No, don't teach Robert Latin. He might learn stuff too soon. And so it took me, you know, over a decade later where I would finally learn these things and start applying them in my own lives. And, you know, the question is, where are you? I mean, what are you willing to look at? What do you want to know? What do you not want to know? And what will you do with that information? I think people now are being boiled to the point where they're uncomfortable enough with the reality and the illusions of reality that they're willing now to look at some of the things we're discussing in a different light. And yes, I do get emotional from time to time right here on the show, but it's the human part of me. Some of these things get me, and that's okay. You can let loose on this too. You can be angry about this. There's plenty to be angry about, and it is a justified anger. But then what do you do with it? Do you just lash out in blind emotionality, or can you do something with the information, Liam?
I want to encourage people to do the hardest thing, which is to go research anything that really bothers them. Go research it. I remember when a friend of mine told me, years and years ago now, a decade and change, that AIDS in Africa was more or less a political thing. And I, at that point, said, wait a second, I see pictures and there are people dying. He said, no, it's just a made-up brand name. And I said, well, he said it the way he said it, but I was so angry that he dare say that these poor Africans weren't suffering that I resolved never to speak to him again. And then I caught myself and I said, wait a second. No, I'm going to crush him. I'm going to do the research and I'm going to destroy him. I did the research and I went, oh my God. He didn't say it very well, but he was right. AIDS in Africa is a renaming of all kinds of pre-existing illnesses. It's a political thing. Go do the research. Dare to be wrong. Challenge by doing heavy research. Read every side and read critically. Make up your mind slowly.
And if it doesn't make sense, sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, and I look at this from a holistic perspective as well. When they told me that, you know, cancer chemotherapy cures cancer, I said, well, that doesn't make sense. simply taking mustard gas from World War I and converting it into a medicine that can kill people, healthy people, was somehow going to restore life and health to very sick people. That's another element of this. When you have your spider senses tingling, listen, the gut ecology, the gut intelligence is very real. And so some of this is very basic and does not, in fact, require a higher education. In fact, it's much easier to see through the garbage when you aren't indoctrinated to that level.
Again, the official stories. Whenever the official story comes out, remember, these are the people who peddled the thing that's now supposed to be true. They've got all the money. Official stories are there to protect officials. If they're not interested in investigating it, find the people who are.
Well, Liam's story is there to release the reality. Conspiracy realism this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. What an extraordinary journey, Liam. We've got lots more fun to have happen. I hope you enjoyed it. Go back and re-listen to some of this because there are depths of information that were revealed this hour and last that are worth that re-listen. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show on Natural News Radio, and I want to say thanks as well to the Prepper Podcast Network for streaming the show as well. Rocking the Health World, robertscottbell.com. You can check out liamchef.com. And if you have a question or comment about today's show, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. In the meantime, as we end the show every day here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, guess what? The power to heal is yours.
And the lizard people's.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.